Fantasy football podcast called Living the Stream comes to you each week. Streaming recommendations during NFL season, it's not just tongue-in-cheek. Quarterback, defense, tight end recommendations based on opposition matchup. Here are your podcast hosts, J.J. Zacharyson and Danny Carter, Living the Stream.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Living the Stream. I'm J.J. Zacharyson, the late-round quarterback. And I am joined, as I am each week, by my lovely co-host, Denny Carter. Denny, what's going on, buddy?
I'm feeling very sentimental tonight. I'm feeling reminiscent of our 100 episodes of Living the Stream, amazingly.
Amazingly. I can't believe it. I do have to say, Denny, as much crap as I and everyone gives you, you really are the worst co-host of all time.
Yeah, I try week in and week out to get worse all the time. I mean, that's all we can do.
Right.
Is like right. JJ Watt says, you know, you have to work every day. You have, what does it pay the rent? Your body can cash the check for the rent or something. You do that and then boom, you get worse every week. It's great. It's perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. 100 episodes though, man. It's been a pleasure. I mean, we haven't been as consistent. So it's not as if like this is our second year doing this or like, cause 52, it's not like we just didn't do them weekly until basically, you know, we made the conscious choice earlier this offseason to start to do them weekly. But 100 episodes down, I think, you know, we've had a lot of memes, if you will, on this podcast.
A lot of what?
A lot of memes.
You mean memes?
No, memories.
Oh.
I mean memes. By the way, I remember talking to my brother once and when memes started to get big and he pronounced them meme and I lost my shit. Lost my shit. But yeah, I mean, what's your, when you look back on this podcast, as if, I mean, we're not done, obviously, with this podcast. I know some people wish that we were done with this podcast. But if you were to look back, what was your favorite moment?
My favorite moment, I mean, as stressful as it was in the moment, I loved the episode where my dad came on, I guess last winter.
That's a good choice. I do too. I liked it. Maybe we need to have more like random guests like that. Cause I liked that. I liked when we had Tom on.
Tom Everett Scott. He was a great guest. Shows, you know, those are like the best shows. I think the best, the time where I laughed the hardest was when, when you said boy, young boy. We're talking about Matt Harmon's Twitter handle.
Yes.
I mean that is the most off the wall thing you've ever said, and it was great. It was just perfect.
It was very, very, I mean, the discussion, actually, I'll just get this out of the way. We have something special for all our listeners at the end of the podcast that I'll throw in there during editing. And actually that piece may or may not be part of that special thing that I'm adding to the end of this podcast. But like there's anytime I can think back on this podcast and have like I've had legit belly laughs doing the, legitimate belly laughs.
There have been times where I've had to collect myself before we continue because I'm laughing too hard to when your face hurts from smiling, you know, from laughing.
Right.
And I know, look, this show is going to be all about how great we are, and that's just the way it's going to go.
Right.
And I'm fine with that. Our friend Zach Law on Twitter said last fall, I think it was, he said something to the effect of, if there is a fantasy podcast out there with more laughter than Living the Stream, I don't know about it. And I think that that's a draw for us, and it also makes me happy that we're we're known, or Living the Stream is known for having laughs. I mean, and I don't feel like we
like
force
laughs
it.
And shitty takes.
Yeah, we did it. Terrible food takes, occasionally terrible football takes, you know, self-deprecation, just flat out mockery of people and things and institutions. But you know, that I think that that's something I'm proud of in the show's first 100 episodes.
Yeah, I am too, for sure. I think, you know, what we set out to do with this podcast was to make it as genuine as possible in terms of just showing how we view fantasy football. And I think what comes out of that is that we, as serious as we take it, we take fantasy football seriously because we know that it's way too important in our lives.
Right.
Right. And we can almost mock that. And I think that hopefully has come out in these 100 episodes that we've done of Living the Stream.
Self-awareness, I think, is a key, like a linchpin of the show. It's just self-awareness. And I think that our audience is incredibly self-aware. And, you know, the rare negative feedback that we get for the show, I think it comes from people who are just not self-aware, who are like, you know, like, where's my serious football takes? Well, you're not really jiving with the show.
Well,
at
it's
that
football.
Point, you
know? Yeah. I mean, it's football. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we've said this so many times. There is, you know, as much as, you know, you mentioned what Zach said about the podcast, and that's unique from that angle. And I'm not trying to, like, pat ourselves on the back, but I think what allows us to be unique in that way and quite literally say whatever the hell is on our mind, and as stupid as, I mean, the kind of stupid stuff that I've said on this show, it's incredible that we're still doing it. Because, like, there's just stupid, I mean, like, your takes are your takes, you know? Mm. But, like, I've said some really stupid stuff on this show. Like, really dumb.
Are you talking about just football-wise, or?
No, I'm talking about, like upside lover.
Oh.
Back in, like, episode 20.
That was.
Like, there's just stupid shit that I'm saying on here. And I'm like, why do I do this podcast? And then that's what I mean, is that our audience is so awesome because they take that and they realize that, like, I'm not going to go back and edit that out. Why would I edit that?
I mean,
out?
Look at, yeah, no, for people who have only been listening for, you know, maybe last season or so, there was one time where JJ actually said, oh, I think it was with Rich, right? Rich Rebar was on the show. And we talked about upside this, upside that, obviously, you know, upside being the most overused phrase in fantasy. And you just busted out with this, you know, beautiful singing voice and with
upside lover.
Upside lover. I mean, just hilarious. It actually killed me in the moment.
My favorite moment, though, like, individual moment, I think, because it spanned past the actual podcast happening. It was the Derek Carrier haircut stuff.
That was
there was, to me, seeing people, because that was the first time that we had our listeners kind of, like, do something outside of just listening to the podcast. I think people, the pictures that people sent back, if you guys go, I mean, our Living the Stream account doesn't have that many tweets that were sent out. So if you want to do, like, a minute worth of scrolling, you can find the pictures that people sent because we retweeted all of them. They're freaking hilarious. Yeah. I mean, there's people that are sitting in their office cubicle looking at their camera, taking a selfie, pointing at Derek Carrier's bald haircut. Like, it's the most incredible thing. Like, that's when I'm sitting there. I'm like, oh, my God, I love this podcast.
You know, I think that was the first time I realized how cool our listeners are. And I'm not just saying that, honestly, because I would tell you guys if I thought you all were huge tools, okay? But I think that we have a generally very cool audience. And I think that was a moment where I was like, our listeners, like, get it. They get it.
Right. Everything changed when Derek Carrier's picture popped up.
Man. Get Derek Carrier on Living the Stream.
Get Derek Carrier on Living the Stream. All right. Well, that was fun reminiscing. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a little fun thing at the end of the episode. Like I said, don't fast forward. Don't be lame and fast forward. You know, there's people that listen to us on, like, 2x speed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, don't be lame, guys.
I feel like there are people who consume so many fantasy football podcasts that if they could be like the Matrix, like Neo in the Matrix, where he downloads knowledge, you know, like, remember where he downloads how to do martial arts or, like, how to fly a helicopter and all that stuff. If they could just download the pod into their brain, they would do it. Right.
Right.
Like, without actually listening to it at all. It would just be like, not.
Right. I wonder, like, are there, when they laugh, if and when they laugh, is that fast forwarded as well in real life? Is it audibly like, whenever they're like, when they listen to a joke and we're talking about Jason Witten cutting the grass, and then they just, like, they're doing it in their cubicle and everyone just
it's like, them, like, yeah, it's like Jason Witten cutting the grass. Ha ha ha. Yeah. He wears that shoes. Ha ha ha.
Exactly. Oh, man. All right, Denny. Well, before we get into the fantasy football talk today, we're going to talk about our sponsor, our new sponsor of the podcast. Why don't you start it off?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yes. That was a good start. Good start. So our sponsor for the next little while is ApexFantasyLeagues.com. And I for one, and I know JJ, you'll speak to this too. I enjoy playing on Apex as much or more, I would say more than any other platform out there. The flexibility that Apex provides, the payouts for the top spots, and the most unique feature, which is something that we can talk about just from our experience, is that even if you lose in a, you know, in a tough week in which you score a lot of points, if you're in the top half of scorers for that week, you get a win. So there are, you can kind of even that out. Say you score the highest point, you know, the second highest point total in the league, but your opponent scores the most. You know, that's a tough pill to swallow. And it sort of is rewarding luck, okay, because you just got flat unlucky. But if you're able to, if the league format, you know, like with Apex, is able to sort of even that out, then the best teams really do emerge come playoff time.
Yeah, so you're playing two games a week, basically, one against the league, and the top half in terms of scoring gets a win, and then against your individual opponent, and if you win that, you can get two wins, essentially, in a given week. That's ApexFantasyLeagues.com. Denny, why don't you tell everyone who won the expert Apex League?
We're still efforting. We're getting word. We're getting word here that... Oh, you won it. You won it. I did get word just now. You won the league.
I did. After all that disastrous draft.
Yeah.
That I
and had. Hey, by the way, how sweet is it when you're playing in an Apex league and you get that double win, that 2-0, huh?
It's a beautiful
thing. Look, winning anything on any platform is great, okay? But going 2-0 is like, I mean, you actually feel like you feel legit. Like you're like, you know, not only did I beat my opponent by 40, I also scored the third most in the league. You know,
it's really awesome when you score in the top half in the league every week too.
Well, were you doing that?
Maybe.
When you had Deion Lewis and Arian Foster going,
had everything going. No, it's a great platform. So guys, check it out, ApexFantasyLeagues.com.
Yes.
All right, Denny. Tonight we're going to talk about late round QB or early round quarterback and early round tight end. We get this question all the time, and we figured we could dedicate a podcast to it along with our questions and such on Twitter. But we get the question of, when would you take Cam Newton? When would you take Rob Gronkowski? When would you take Jordan Reed? And it's a great question to ask because we give pretty vague answers when it arises, because it is kind of a vague answer, but I think that it's something that we can dive into. So we'll do that real quick. I think before we get going, I just want to start from a very high level as to why we are drafting quarterbacks and tight ends late, because I think that it will help us understand why the opposite side as well. So just remember, you're drafting quarterbacks and tight ends late because of supply and demand. You're only starting one of those positions, whereas you're starting two or three wide receivers, and opportunity cost. So the big thing to remember, because you're only starting one of these players on your team, and every team is in your league, the opportunity cost is greater when you're foregoing a running back or a wide receiver as opposed to a quarterback. Let me just run through a really quick scenario. It's the first round. You have the first overall pick. You decide to go Cam Newton instead of Antonio Brown, right? Mm-hmm. The next quarter, the 12th ranked quarterback. Let's use the QB12, the worst starter in a 12 team league, as our baseline, and the RB or sorry, in the wide receiver 24. As the baseline there, even wide receiver 36. The wide receiver 24 will leave the board in the fifth round. The wide receiver 36 will leave the board in, say, the seventh round. The QB12 won't leave the board until nowadays the ninth or maybe even the tenth round. So essentially, the points that you're gaining from Cam Newton is spread across multiple rounds, which means the opportunity cost is higher each round that you forego a pick. Right. When you're taking a quarterback or a tight end, just because of how late you can get those usable
That's
players.
Very well explained, by the way.
Thank you. So I think that, you know, going back to what the actual discussion is, when you think about opportunity cost now, the reason going drafting a quarterback or a tight end early can be detrimental is because that's when the best players are being drafted mm-hmm. in fantasy football, which means your opportunity cost is more massive. I mean, if the first quarterback is taken in the eighth round, then obviously you can get a value by taking that quarterback because the opportunity cost and not taking that quarterback isn't nearly as high. So, you know, that's why we say on this podcast all the time that this isn't a game of chicken, guys. If you can get a quarterback at a good value, that's where you jump on it. It's all about value. It's all about this idea of opportunity cost. Do you have anything to add to
that? Well, no, I was going to say, I think that's why we get these questions about where would you take, you know, a Cam Newton and Aaron Rodgers, you know, Gronk, the top end onesie positions. And my question would be are these players really falling in the leagues that you're playing in? You know, I mean, that our listeners are playing in. I guess sometimes they might be. I was telling JJ before the show that on Fantasy Football Calculator, the quarterback ADPs look like what we would consider, you know, like expert league ADPs, where Cam Newton is at 305 right now. Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson's at 502. I mean, you know, that's like if you put a bunch of writers, fantasy writers together, that sort of thing would happen. But I think that will change dramatically over the next 30 days. So I guess we should also adjust that for our conversation.
Yeah. And even if it remains the same, I think that we have to think of things, you know, you see Cam Newton's ADPs in the middle of the third and Aaron Rodgers is in the late third and Andrew Luck is in the late fourth. And I think that still raises the question of why don't you see them as values? Why wouldn't I be drafting them there? Mm-hmm. And I think a really good answer to that, at least from some of the research that I've done, is the idea of the bust rates that I've talked mm-hmm. about. You know, I think when you get to that point in time, there's a very massive drop off in the sixth-ish round mm-hmm. at both running back and wide receiver in terms of consistency from preseason ADP and projections to postseason result. So by loading up on those positions at that point, what you're doing is you're ensuring that you're getting the most important positions in fantasy football. So if you get a quarterback at that point, you're playing against probability in a way. And considering you know that those quarterbacks can go later, it just doesn't make that much sense to do.
Sure, sure. So where would you take a Cam Newton, for instance?
Yeah, so here's the other thing with these early quarterbacks. So, you know, I think that everyone sees them as very, very safe, which I don't argue with that. But at the end of the year, if you look back over even the last 5 years, maybe right after that crazy 2011 that forced me to write the late round quarterback in the first mm-hmm. place, there's generally been just one or two quarterbacks who are truly, truly irreplaceable. So, as we've talked about on this podcast, like streaming is not a way to compile a QB1 in fantasy football. That's not what we're trying to set out. What we're saying is your team is never going to be perfect. So if you stream the quarterback position and get maybe a QB6 or QB7 production, mm-hmm. but all the while you're loading up on other positions, you're in really, really good shape to win your league. And you can effectively stream the position, and here's why. We're going to stream them every single week and give recommendations and so on. So here's the thing, though, is that if there's only one or two quarterbacks who are truly, truly replaceable each season, and number one, there's no guarantee that both of those quarterbacks will come from the early rounds in your draft. I mean, look at 2015 as a perfect example. Cam Newton was a late round quarterback. You know, there's no, and even Tom Brady in the first 7 weeks of last year, he was better than Cam across the season, but Tom Brady was a later round pick because of the suspension stuff. There's only one or two quarterbacks that really do that. And the reason for that is because in order to be truly, truly replaceable, you know, I'm not saying that our streamer is going to put up QB4 numbers, but it's not going to be that far off. It's not going to really be that far from putting up those kind of mm-hmm. numbers. The reason that only one or two of these quarterbacks are so irreplaceable each season is because throwing for 45 touchdowns or throwing for 35 touchdowns and 10 plus rushing touchdowns is a very, very difficult thing to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, so essentially to be an elite quarterback and truly hold an advantage over the rest of the position, you need to kind of have an outlier year. So not only whenever you're drafting these quarterbacks are you, you know, saying, oh, they're safe. Well, you're actually kind of banking on some sort of outlier to happen, at that particular position. And, you know, I think that, the thing this season is there's a tier, an elite tier, where you could argue pretty strongly that four guys could be this season's QB1. Let's see if you agree. I think you have Cam. Mm-hmm. I think you have Aaron Rodgers. You probably have Russell Wilson, and you probably have Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
And from a fantasy standpoint, I mean, that I think are the four guys who could legitimately be the QB1, one of those irreplaceable players by the end of the
season. I don't know. I don't know if I could leave Breeze out, but definitely.
Sure. If you want to throw Breeze in, that obviously helps our argument even right. more, that there's even someone else that you're trying to consider. Because now what we're basically saying is when you do get a guy like Cam Newton, or you do, you know, Cam being the first quarterback off the board, mm-hmm. you're gaining a much smaller advantage than taking the worst player within that top
right,
tier.
Right.
That's essentially, you know, and if you think Drew Brees can be a QB, let's see what his ADP is. Yep. I'm assuming it's like this.
Well, Brees is 602 right now.
Yeah. So here's the deal: if you're going by ADP. And you're assuming that Breeze goes over three and a half round or three rounds mm-hmm. after Cam Newton, and they're both in the same tier. What does that tell you? To me, it tells me that there's no chance in hell I'm going to own Cam Newton this year.
Right. Exactly. Even at 305, and in your league, talking to listeners, he's probably going to go in the first 15 picks.
Right. Exactly. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, the reason that the late round quarterback is a thing is because it's just the way the drafts go. I'm never going to own one of those quarterbacks because of the way they go. Yeah. I have my dog in here. He just rustled. Yeah. His,
I thought it was like music or something. Feathers. I was like, what's going
on? Yeah. He's itching himself because he's allergic to everything.
He's allergic to takes, I think.
Apparently he likes to draft his quarterbacks early.
Right.
So where would you then, with all that being said, where, like, given the way that drafts kind of like are played out, because I think, you know, the truth is that a lot of this, and this isn't like, I mean, coming from someone like me who does a lot of, like, I'm an analytical mm-hmm. football thinker, mm-hmm. really a lot of this comes down to feel, right? Where you have to not only play where and see where other teams are trending with the quarterback position in your draft. Yeah. But if it gets to the point where, like, you got steal after steal after steal after steal in your draft, you should feel more comfortable drafting a quarterback a little bit earlier, in my opinion.
And I think that's a point that's easy to miss if you sort of have tunnel vision, you know, with a late round whatever approach, late round tight end, late round quarterback.
Right.
I see, you know, in a lot of conversations on Twitter that I have, people will say, well, I'm just going to wait on tight end. I'm just waiting forever and ever. I mean, I get what that means, and I get the intentions are good there. But I tend to not pigeonhole my thinking in that way. I've done that before. We'll just stick with tight end. I've done that before. And then suddenly there will be a point in the draft where I see, you know, a tight end who I have projected as, possibly a big steal at that point in the draft. But if you're dead set, if you become like a late round ideologue, right? Like just a person dead set on this thing, then you're just going to skip that value play. Mm-hmm. And there's no reason to do that. Even with, like you just said, with quarterbacks, if you feel like you're building a team with a lot of value, with a lot of equity in each position, then you get to a point where you see a quarterback who you believe, for various reasons, that guy could be an every week starter, then go ahead and get him, even if it's not in the 14th round.
Mm-hmm. And I think the key is to still, you know, if you are drafting a quarterback earlier than what we would say a typical draft would go, and where you should draft a quarterback, you know, in the double digit rounds, I would say make sure that quarterback has the opportunity and has the chance to be one of those top quarterbacks in fantasy football, because otherwise all you're doing, like, this is, Denny, this is why I can't understand Ben Roethlisberger in fantasy football this year. Because Ben, sure, he's going to have big weeks, but at the end of the day, what are the odds that Ben Roethlisberger is a QB two this season, or QB one this season? That he's, I don't think it's nearly as high as like Drew Brees. I just given what they've done in the past, given how those offenses are formulated, he obviously doesn't have the second best wide receiver on his team in Martavis Bryant. I mean, it's I did that on purpose.
That's such a shot.
But you know, that's what I'm saying though. Like, Ben Roethlisberger has never ever throughout his entire career. Sure, he could do it. Of course, he could do it. But the odds of him doing it are very small. Whereas Drew Brees, I mean, he throws 30 touchdowns every year, every single year. If he has an outlier season where some of those 1 yard rushes from Mark Ingram turn into 1 yard passes from Drew Brees, right, maybe a couple of them are QB sneaks, then boom, he's the QB one. So that's really what I look for if I'm really trying. You know, like, there was an NFL 10 that I did, and I loved the first five picks that I had. I loved them. And when I got to my sixth pick, I hated what was there. I just despised it. Like, Michael Crabtree went right before me, and he was kind of like, I don't even want Michael Crabtree on my team, but maybe I would have thought about him in like the mid to late six. I think it was more the late sixth round. And I got Andrew Luck. I picked Andrew Luck because I felt comfortable where things were at, and I love the team. I'm in the 14th round right now, and I love the team. That's the thing. It's fine. It's not a bad thing to get these guys, especially if you tier your players and you see a really, you know, like a lull in at the running back and wide receiver position, and you know that you can get guys that, you know, like, if you have a tier and that tier is more than likely going to span round 6 through round 8, for instance, and you know you can get two of those guys from round 6 to round 8, then sure, use one of those three picks on a quarterback. That's fine. Just make sure that quarterback can be that irreplaceable guy.
I did the same with Russell Wilson in an NFL 10 this month. I got him in the early 6th, and it was the same situation where, you know, running back and wide receiver had been hammered to death at that point. And I just looked at the guys available and tight end, and nothing jumped out to me as something that I must do. So I said, I'll try Russell Wilson. And I believe, you know, through the projections I've done, and also after reading a really solid piece on 2QBs.com by Anthony Amico, believe that Russell Wilson's combination of the potential for increased volume and his just stupid efficiency over his career, including the efficiency that he maintained when his volume ticked up at the end of last year, make him, for me, the candidate this year to be that blow up performer, that guy who claims that number one spot, and who you can get, you know, in a savvy, quote unquote, savvy league, who you can get in the fifth or sixth round. And that's not hateful to me.
Right. I think it all depends on how you're tiering your players and how you view those players. I mean, tiering goes beyond just player projections too. It goes into ceiling and floor. It goes into how these players are accumulating their points. I've talked to our boy Rich Rebar about this a lot, and him and I draft fairly similarly, where, you know, these tiers are not just about, hey, these guys are going to score a similar amount of points over the course of the season, because you need to know how those points are accumulated. Jarvis Landry, for instance, versus, I don't know, a bigger play receiver, Jarvis Landry is going to have a higher floor than maybe T.Y. Hilton. T.Y. Hilton still has a higher floor, but you know what I'm trying to say there.
Yeah, yeah.
If you can combine those kind of players on your actual fantasy team, that's phenomenal, because you're getting the floor, you're getting the ceiling, and combining those two things is great. Because if you only had ceiling guys, you expose yourself to variance in a week where nothing happens for your team, and then vice versa. So, you know, if you feel good with your tiers, and if your tiers are dried up and there's literally nothing there, then go for that. I didn't even realize how awesome of a phrase.
Yeah,
that
if your tears are dried up in the shower and when you're in the corner cowering.
Right. So I think that you guys get an idea of where we would be drafting quarterbacks. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I think that even in the fifth and the sixth round in most drafts, you're going to find a guy or two that you are very comfortable taking over a lot of the quarterbacks. But if there's leagues where there's very savvy people who are, you know, not taking guys like Matt Forte in the third round, you know, you could run into that predicament, and it's not the worst thing in the world. Don't think that, like, we're going to hate you for the rest of our lives if you do that.
You're still allowed to listen, and you're allowed in Club LTS. Don't worry.
Right. So the tight end position is a little bit different, and I say that because of the predictability aspect. While quarterback's the most predictable of any position in fantasy football, tight end is the least predictable. Going into a given week, trying to predict how they perform, just because they don't see many snaps and so on and so forth. So because of that, I'm much more willing to take a tight end early than I would be taking a quarterback early. So, for instance, I actually have a decent amount of Kobe Fleener now, and I'm not afraid of taking him in the seventh round, in the late seventh round. I'm totally
fine. I like that as well. We didn't talk about this point, but I had the same guy in my notes as, you know, Kobe Fleener. I've gotten him a lot in the late seventh and early eighth. I don't see him going much above there. I think because there's a certain amount of built-in dislike for Kobe Fleener in fantasy circles because he has been an underachiever to some extent. He makes some ugly drops, which people remember. They file away. Man, do people remember drops. I'll take him every time there, and I'm pretty confident that, he has, I would say, top three upside in that offense.
Yeah, and again, that's a pretty big advantage. That's why we've been less inclined to really talk about Gronk on this. But we talked about Jimmy Graham on this podcast because him as a player was pretty overrated. Mm-hmm. But even, I mean, Gronk, you know, we get it. We understand the reason why people are drafting Gronk early. It makes a lot more sense to get Gronk at the end of the first round than it does to take Cam Newton at the end of the first round. A lot more sense. With that being said, I still see Gronk more as a mid-second round pick. And a lot of that, and Jordan Reed a couple rounds after. Mm-hmm. And a big reason for that is the depth of the tight end position. I think that there's a lot, you know, if you go back to what we talked about with opportunity cost and spreading that wealth, and if you do take a tight end early, then it's not as it's a bigger deal because you're foregoing those running back and wide receiver points, and you can get tight ends in the 10th, 11th, 12th rounds. I think because tight end is so deep, it actually hurts the hell out of Rob Gronkowski and, I mean, aside from Tom Brady's suspension, Rob Gronkowski and Jordan Reed both.
Yeah.
And I think if you could very easily, I mean, with Jordan Reed, he has some touchdown regression more than likely coming. They added more weapons to that offense in the passing game. I'm not as into Jordan Reed as some other folks are. I can understand him a little bit more. From a value standpoint, maybe I would understand him over Gronk just from where they're going ADP-wise. But really, I think, you know, when you're looking at the tight end position, you can get Kobe Fleener, who's got top three upside, in the seventh or eighth. You can look even deeper, and you can get guys like, we talk about them a lot on the podcast. Antonio Gates has a late 11th ADP. Yeah. Dwayne Allen has a late 12th, according to Fantasy Football Calculator. Jason Witten, even, to give you some floor, is a decent tight end option, is in the middle of the 13th. Zach Miller, who I like a lot, end of the 13th. Eric Ebron, end of the 13th. Yeah. I mean, there's guys where if you look at the wide range, I mean, Gronk to Eric Ebron is early second, 2.01 to 13.11. So that's essentially, what, 12 rounds of 11, picking. Yeah. And that's the difference between Gronk and Ebron. Sure, it's big. I get it. But having Ebron, and then if it's a bad matchup or if you don't feel good about how he's performing and streaming and so on and so forth, you're getting him for free. Right. Whereas you're not getting all of those players that are in the second round of drafts if you take Gronk.
Just looking at ADPs right now, one guy who really interests me, who I think could be kind of a default high volume type tight end like we saw with Delanie Walker last year, is Gary Barnage. His peak ADP was, let's see, late June. He was going at 803. And right now he's going at 810 and falling. And that might have something to do with the surgery he had. I think it was a groin surgery. He's supposed to be fine, you know, ready to start the season. But, if he keeps...
I think it's competition, too.
I guess he has a little
players that are coming out like to competition at the tight end position, like in the league, you know, like people getting more excited about the Kobe Fleeners of the world and Ladarius Greens of the world.
And even Julius Thomas. Yeah. So Julius Thomas is right. Actually right next to Barnage in ADP, which I mean, I guess there's some argument to be made there. I don't really get it, but Barnage is a guy who jumps out to me along with Fleener that I'm fairly excited about taking him at the very end of the eighth, and maybe he'll drop into the ninth eventually if things keep going the way they're going.
Yeah, if you can get consistency, I mean, look, we've pretty much, the way that we've treated the tight end position on this podcast is we've been very good at nailing late round tight ends in your drafts. I mean, we had Kelce 2 years ago, we had Eifert last year,
Julius Thomas.
And your boy Julius Thomas a couple years ago when you nailed that. I mean, we've nailed the late round tight ends, which has really helped in terms of the hashtag brand, but also just in terms of, like, if you do forego a guy like Gronk, at least you're getting insane value with some of those later tight ends. Mm-hmm. And there's just so many of them this year. There's so many of them.
Right.
Like Dwayne Allen, to me, I do those Periscopes every day. Mm-hmm. And on the Periscope today, I opened it up talking about who this year's Jordan Reed is. And I think of all players, to me, from a situation standpoint, I understand he's not nearly as athletic. I think it's Dwayne Allen.
Sure.
If there's one guy who's going to catch double-digit touchdowns and who is going to do so because he's seeing a little bit more opportunity, mm-hmm. and there's a lack of red zone threats in that in his offense, it has to be Dwayne Allen, right?
Oh, definitely. And he has crazy touchdown upside in that offense. The fact that Martellus Bennett is going a few picks before him blows my mind. But
yeah, me too. I mean, but that's all we're saying, guys, is that, you know, we understand early tight ends more than we do early quarterbacks. But at the same time, this season, I don't think that you need to feel the need to get a Gronk. And I don't think that you're seeing discourse on that either. I don't think that people are writing about that because it's just not a thing anymore.
Well, it's funny to see Gronk's ADP out of the first round. I don't know if I've seen that in the last 3 years, honestly.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that the position is super, super deep and people are understanding that. There's also some really intriguing young players that have, you know, become full-blown fantasy studs and stars, like an A-Rob or a David Johnson or a Gurley. That certainly helps, but yeah, it's pretty
good. Are we fading Ladarius Green at 804, which is his ADP?
Yeah, I am. I'm not as much. I mean, I wouldn't draft him that. I get him in the ninth and tenth, like, in the ninth, if he falls in best ball leagues, I'm okay with it. A little bit more okay with it. But guys, I'm frightened out of my mind. Like, that's just an upside play because it's a best ball league. I need to get first, and he's going to score, you know, his upside is scoring touchdowns, and he's going to be volatile week to week. I don't think he's just going to take Heath Miller's volume. And they're also already talking about Jesse James.
I know.
Like, I hope to God Ladarius Green is a monster. I'm just trying to be as objective as I possibly can, and I'm a little bit afraid.
I guess we'll see how they use him. If they use him like they did in San Diego, then we're talking about like a Lamar Miller level frustration for Green owners. His ADP has dropped a little from 712 to 804. That's not insignificant. I'm with you. I would much rather have Fleener right there or Barnage a full round and a half later, but I'm definitely intrigued. I've always been intrigued by Ladarius Green. I'm obviously not the only one. If he falls some more, I'm very interested in him at that point.
Yeah. Word. All right. I think that does it. I think people have a general idea of where we're taking these guys. Let's get to Twitter. So today's, this week's episode, I went to the Twitter account and I said, give us questions, but also give us your favorite LTS mm-hmm. moment, because we'll cry a little
bit. We will. What'd you say? If your dried up your tears are dried up.
if your tears are dried, hopefully they are dried. The very first response I got was all it said was Foles week 3.
Oh God. Never forget. By the way, can we just go over that real quick? Because maybe not everyone knows about that, but we keep talking about Foles week 3. I want to just really, if you could briefly recall what the argument was for playing Nick Foles in week 3 against Pittsburgh at home in St. Louis.
Yes, it was week 3. And this is, you know, hindsight, you're like, oh, Nick Foles couldn't even keep his starting job. And so we look like morons. But it's not, first of all, it's not like we were the only people on Nick Foles that week.
Lots.
I mean, good Lord. Every DFS tout was on Nick Foles that week. So in that game, you had an over-under that rose by, went from 47 to 48 and a half against a Pittsburgh team that was horrible defensively. And Nick Foles was, had a competent week the week before. He was like, it was like one of his few top 12 performances. I think it was against Arizona too.
And, well, and then he lit up the Seahawks in week one.
Yeah. Oh, maybe, maybe I was going to the Seahawks game that he could be a, you know, that, that he at least showed that he could put up top 12 numbers. So on the podcast, I convinced Denny sort of that Nick Foles was the pick to play, to start at the position. And he scored like 7 fantasy points in that game. I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was Lance Kendricks. He hit Lance Kendricks right in the chest on like the 5-yard line. He would have just walked in the end zone. And he
yeah.
It was one of those games that you're watching. It was the most, look, like the picks on this podcast to me at this point are just as important as any other aspect of my fantasy football world, right? Like you want them to perform well. And I'm watching that game, and I don't think I've ever tilted a game. And it was against my own team.
Well,
never tilted a game.
Now, before. It was – the thing about that game is it was tilting before kickoff because the game was delayed 20 minutes because the damn turf caught on fire.
Yes. It was like a sign. It was some sort of sign.
And we were DMing, and I was like, JJ, this is a bad sign. I don't like this. I don't like what's happening. I have a bad feeling. You know, they have people running onto the field. The turf is all black in this one spot. Nick Foles is just kind of wandering around. I'm like, oh, God, no. No, this can't be happening. And then the first series is a total debacle. I think he either threw a pick or it was like a pick called back on a penalty. But it was, I mean, it was brutal. But the thinking was clear and I believe correct.
Yeah, totally. And not only Roethlisberger got hurt in that game. So that hurt their negative game script.
Oh, man.
The Rams' negative game script. Like literally everything went wrong in that. I can't believe I have to relive this.
I'm sorry, man. But yeah, I know. No, I know. I remember when Roethlisberger went down, I was like, well, that's the end of that.
Yeah, you need that. You need that game script to stay high scoring. I mean, it was an over under of like 48 and a half, and I think it was 13-10 final. Yeah. And like some, I don't think Gurley was there.
Well, because you knew Jeff Fisher as soon as Roethlisberger went down was like, yes, we don't have to score points. All right.
Yeah. All right. Exactly. All right. Next question. How would you rank A-Rob, Alshon, Jordy, Keenan Allen, Mike Evans, Brandon Cook? I'll do this, and then you'll answer the next question because it also says, does Denny watch Game of Thrones? I'd go A-Rob, Keenan. If this is PPR, I guess it doesn't really matter. A-Rob, Keenan, Alshon, Jordy, Evans, Cooks. Maybe Cooks, Evans. I mean, that's such a, it's the same tier. It's really the same. I think A-Rob is the top.
Really?
Guy
no, there. See, I put A-Rob below
Keenan.
Below Keenan, below Jordy.
I can see that. Like I can understand.
Yeah, I guess that would be it as far as where I put A-Rob. I can't get with his ADP right now.
I think you're right. I actually might at the end of the day. I mean, I've drafted A-Rob a couple times the last couple days just because he's falling into the second round.
Oh,
I can get behind Keenan Allen over all of them.
Me too.
He's got an insane ceiling. Do you watch Game of Thrones?
Yeah, I thought I've talked about this, but yes, I do. And that's right. I got destroyed. I got lit up like a Christmas tree on Twitter about 6 weeks ago when I'd said correctly that the writing in this season is like a bad teen comedy in parts because that now they're off the books and you know just like TV writers. It's really awful writing in the show, really terrible. And Game of Thrones truthers were in my mentions and would not leave for like 24 hours. So I learned my lesson. Look, nerds are passionate. I get it. I'm passionate about some things, but you got to let it go. I'm not insulting you personally, Game of Thrones people. I'm just saying that the show is garbage and it didn't used to be. That's all I'm saying.
Right. Right. This next question is so deep and so hilarious. It's one of my favorite questions that I've ever gotten because it combines multiple podcasts and inside jokes into one. It says, does JJ rapidly blink when someone around him shouts Nick Foles?
let's test it. Ready? Nick Foles, Nick Foles, Nick Foles. JJ just passed out, everyone.
I can't see anything. This next one, Ryan Soli. Can Denny explain / give his take on the Kim K Taylor Swift fiasco? Hashtag brand.
Oh, man. I've been trying to avoid this like the plague.
But like on Twitter or just like in your daily life? Because
I don't want to understand it, you know? Like I don't want to understand a lot on the internet, but sometimes I can't avoid it. I've been able to successfully avoid this. I mean, you know, I guess what Taylor Swift.
Wait, do you know what? No, I'm gonna hear you.
Okay, yeah, okay. Here's what I think it is. Here's what I think it is. Taylor Swift worked with worked with what's his name? Kanye. In his insulting of her in a song, is that right?
Kind of. I wouldn't say worked. I would say he allegedly, there's a line in a song where he says something very vulgar about her. And he allegedly said, like, asked her if it was okay. And she allegedly said no. That's what Taylor Swift says. But then this past week, Kim Kardashian released a phone call recording, which is completely illegal, of him talking to Taylor Swift and her saying that it was fine to do it. But there was another part of the song that she was mad about where he like calls her a bad word. And like basically there's like some gray area here. But it's actually a really big deal because Kim K released something that she should not have released.
Right.
That's what's going
on. All right. I can get with that.
You guys come here for those kind of takes.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like a celebrity gossip 24/7 here on Living the Stream. Obviously.
Right. Next one, @Sean_Tat. My favorite show moment was the Ruffle Wilson slip up. Still randomly laugh about it from time to time. Good. I always forget about that. I don't remember what episode that was. That's a pretty long time ago, though.
Yeah. This guy, yeah. What's this listener's name?
Sean_Tat. I don't think he's ever.
Sean's a long time listener. Yeah. Cause you were, I think you were just rattling off names. You were like, look, you have this guy, that guy, Ruffle Wilson.
Oh, man. Next one, @Moody2J said, favorite show has to be the Thanksgiving dinner debacle. Second favorite would be JJ's Fire Perfect Dark Takes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, wait, what's the Thanksgiving debacle?
Just you not are you admitting that you don't eat?
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, that you mean that Thanksgiving is the most overrated meal of the year? Yeah.
Get out of here. Get out of here. Next one, @DM Spung, non-PPR keeper, 12-team league, keep two. Lamar Miller for a third rounder, Doug Martin for a fourth, Thomas Rawls for a seventh, Matt Jones for a 12th.
I mean, Lamar for a third doesn't sound bad.
Yeah, if you're going to keep Lamar, then I would probably keep like Matt Jones for a 12th just to get a little bit more equity in between.
Yeah. No, I don't think I could do Martin in the fourth and.
Right.
But
so let's go with that. Next one, @LatexSalesman7. Would Denny rather stub his toe or drink a double IPA?
Well, there are double IPAs?
Yeah, Denny. Wait. That's what you have to do next.
Does it have like 10% alcohol?
Yeah, there's a lot of different IPAs.
A double IPA.
That's why you would like I drink a lot of session IPAs. You'd like a session IPA. They're pretty easy to drink. They're lighter in alcohol.
Don't act like you know what I would like and not like. But that sounds awful. A stub toe is also awful, but you know what, at least I can get tipsy on one double IPA, so I'll take that.
Next one, @MDeschenes17.
that's good
this me. Wouldn't be the 100th episode of Living the Stream without me incorrectly pronouncing Twitter handle.
Butcher.
How much stock do you put into MFL 10 drafts when trying to use those to gauge where players will go in a regular league? I'd honestly look more towards a fantasy football calculator if it's more of a home league.
Definitely.
Honestly, the best way to look is whatever draft app you're using, like a Yahoo or an ESPN, people are going to just go by that list that's in there when you enter the
draft. Can you imagine what the team that a really good fantasy footballer could build if there was no ADPs listed, if it was just alphabetical order?
Yeah.
I mean, you could just...
You could annihilate people.
Yes, because people would have no, no notion of value. You know, they would come into this draft and they would just start taking guys that they've heard of, and you would build an all-star team.
Right. This next one, at Joe Son of Joe, Alderin on Lions running backs this year seems like a quagmire. Favorite moment, the show after Nick Foles week, when I went on that giant rant. Are you in or out on the Lions running backs? Do you like Amir Abdullah, theoretic?
Abdullah seems borderline criminally underrated at this point as far as his ADP goes. He's going to get the carries, right?
Yeah, here's the thing. I don't think the Lions offense is going to be phenomenal this season, but I think that they're kind of priced correctly, except Marvin Jones. He's insanely underrated.
Right,
but the whole offense is pretty underrated, even Golden Tate borderline. I think, you know, but still, like, overall, like, even Theo Riddick is a good value in PPR leagues.
But I don't know what you're going to do when Golden Tate gets 192 targets this year.
Oh, it's going to be insane. It's going to be so bad. I don't doubt that, though. I just think that Marvin Jones has the upside because he's an upside lover. Next one, at Didymus. His favorite moment was Median Twitter, which was also a good moment.
Oh, man, Median Twitter was so mean. Oh, it that's so mean. I just made a joke.
That was a good joke. Next one, at Beer and Blank. This is from our friend Melinda. She says, best moment, trying to recant the episode that wasn't recorded. We're lucky. I'm glad that we've only had, of the 100 episodes, I'd say 98 of them were fine, but two of them were like really, one of them was when your audio just kept cutting.
Oh.
That was like two months ago. But then there was the one episode where we went through half of it and I realized I never hit record. And then we tried to remember if we were saying something for the first time or if we had said it before, and it was like Inception.
It was, but we were also, when you told me, you know, oh God, I wasn't recording, I felt like we were like mourning a family member, you know. Yeah, we were like, oh God, no, oh no, please no. And you were like, yeah, it's lost, you know. You could almost hear the in the background. And then we were like, okay, we could do this again. And then, you know, we restarted and we're just stumbling and bumbling.
Yeah, we were at the funeral of the podcast. Right,
we're trying to mourn and also put on a podcast at the same time. I would say we were just completely tilted.
Right.
The entire time.
I don't know what podcast number that was, but don't go listen to that. Next one, what's up?
I was just, I remember being totally rattled. And then we were just like, when you were done recording, you know, at the end, you hit the button. We're like, that was horrible.
Yeah, is that what happens when quarterbacks throw interceptions?
I think so.
They're just really good at rebounding and we're not. The next one, at the Pugfather 22. Favorite moment, the discussion about fantasy anxiety dreams and signing up for college class nightmares.
It's all very real.
That's good. Very real. This next one is, what, this is from I_Quint. He said, I feel like you guys might have some hot Game of Thrones takes. What is it? So I don't watch Game of Thrones. I'm like the only person who doesn't watch Game of Thrones. And I feel like because Game of Thrones isn't on right now, it's not on right now, right?
Yeah, 3 weeks ago was the finale. Yeah.
Right. Right. Everyone like needs Game of Thrones. So I'm going to take a stand and say, I'm not talking about this question. Do you have a take though?
My take is this: there are lots of good shows and also good books. Okay. Let's not act like Game of Thrones is the end all be all of culture. You know, you could live 15 lifetimes and never read all the great books or watch all the great shows. Stop it. Stop obsessing.
Right. Next one, at Bad Glove Hand. Preferred draft spot? I'm in a 12-team league where you pick your spot based on points against from 2015. That's actually a pretty cool way of picking your spot. I like a top three pick. Just because you can get one of those wide receivers.
Yeah, basically for me, I don't want anything to do with the middle. I hate the middle.
Yeah. Next one, at Future Stars NYC. After 100 episodes, what is the best and worst projections each of you made?
Mm.
Well, the worst is Nick Foles week 3.
We've
made some bad tight end ones because
we had Manziel.
Oh, we did have a Manziel week. Yeah, we did have a Manziel week.
Against the Bengals. Ugh.
Yep, I remember that week. But it didn't even ruin our quarterback Frankenstein. We were still QB6.
No, it didn't. We had a Bortles week that was god-awful.
against the Steelers. We should just never stream against the Steelers.
Oh yeah. What's up with that?
The Bortles one was against the Steelers as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'd say the best the Derek Carrier moment was amazing.
Oh, you know, another memory that I don't think I'm ever going to forgive or forget both ourselves is excluding Richard Rodgers the day he blew up.
Oh my God.
And went for 24 fantasy points, including a Hail Mary to win the game against the Lions.
Yeah. And we both had him in our show notes. Yeah. Like we just forgot to talk about him.
Yes, I had. And then at the end of the show, we actually like looked at him, you know, looked at our notes. And, oh, we forgot Richard Rodgers. Forget it.
Right. Oh my gosh. But the good moments have been good. I mean, I always remember the Eli week against the Redskins in week four that one year. And then we had the Flacco week against the Buccaneers where he threw five touchdowns. And then obviously the Kirk Cousins call for the playoffs last season. And then my favorite tight end one is easily Derek Carrier though, because he actually caught it the week that all of that went down, when we had a social media storm within our niche's niche, basically. of people sending us pictures of Derek Carrier's head, and he scored a touchdown. It was amazing.
The best feeling I ever got from any pick ever was, and I know we mentioned this a few minutes ago, Julius Thomas week one against the Ravens 3 years ago. It was Thursday night. It was an island game. Everybody's watching. We pushed Julius Thomas hard on the show, I think the day before that game. And he comes out and goes nuts. I think two touchdowns, and he had like seven or eight catches, over 100 yards. I was ecstatic. I could hardly contain myself, because it was like the first like huge performance, and it was clear that he was going to be an every week starter. Like it was like we landed one, we got one,
yeah. ASAP. Yeah, it was awesome. Next question. At a Game of Throws, how much money would it take for CD Carter 13 to delete his account?
I thought about this for an inordinate amount of time today.
You realize if you give an answer, there's going to be a GoFundMe.
Oh my gosh, you're right. But
someone needs to start that GoFundMe. Hey, if you start the GoFundMe, we could always give it to No Kid Hungry too.
Hey, that's not a bad idea. The thing is, my account helps me to make money, so. I struggle with putting a number on it. It probably would be a lot higher than most people think. I'm going to set it at 3 million. Go ahead. Go raise that, everybody. 3 million.
Guys, he gets paid to give those bad takes. Next one, at Chuck Miro. He said, please discuss best running back handcuffs overall and the strategy of not picking your RB1 handcuff, but the best available. Thanks. So I explained this the one podcast, and I think that some people didn't fully understand what I was saying. So let me just bring that up again. Number one, don't draft handcuffs. Okay? Mm-hmm. Because they're the first guys that you drop. They're very rarely usable. D'Angelo Williams is the rule, is the exception, not the rule. Mm-hmm. You're going to hold that roster spot during the most impactful waiver wire time of the season. It doesn't make any sense whenever you're not getting any use out of that player. When you should pick up your handcuffs is like week 8 or 9, like later in the season when you feel good about your roster and you're set to make the playoffs. But the what I'm talking about, the handcuff, if you're going to handcuff, you should be looking not for safety, but for upside. And the reason for that is because you're trying to win your freaking league. You're not just trying to play it safe, you know, per se. Mm-hmm. So instead of getting D'Angelo Williams with Le'Veon Bell, if you draft Le'Veon Bell, draft Jerick McKinnon with Le'Veon Bell. And then people hit me up on Twitter and they're like, well, what happens if Le'Veon Bell gets hurt? Then you don't have D'Angelo Williams. It's like, yeah, no shit. But like the whole point is, well, what happens if Adrian Peterson gets hurt and now you have Jerick McKinnon and Le'Veon Bell? Like the whole point is upside. Like you can't, like, sure, if you want to play it safe, then just handcuff it. But I think it's an awful way of playing fantasy football. I mean, I wouldn't handcuff regardless. I'm fine with taking those guys in like an MFL 10. And an MFL 10 specifically, in a best ball league, there is no reason that you should be handcuffing your running backs. You should be taking handcuffs of other running backs and putting them on your roster, because your goal is quite literally first place or it doesn't matter.
That's exactly it. You know, if you're handcuffing, you know, you're probably really locked in as like the third or fourth best team you know, but you're not winning a league by going ahead and just boom, 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 handcuffing down the line. It just doesn't work like that.
Right. This next one is at JohnBoyd11. Congrats on your 100th episode. Your guys' podcast is my favorite. That's all. No question. Here are some emojis. Thumbs up, beer, and heart.
This is very nice. I appreciate all those emojis.
Thank you. Next one, at RotoDub. Congrats on the big night for the hashtag brand. Round of IPAs on me. Need opinions on a PPR keeper. Amari in the 4th or Reed in the 15th? Definitely Jordan Reed.
Yes. Wow.
Next one, at Joe Bowen 731. Pick one to have the next 2 years. This is a really interesting question. Brandon Marshall, Randall Cobb, or Michael Floyd?
Wow.
I'm going with Randall Cobb.
Me too. I didn't know if you would go with Cobb, but look, Cobb's a fantasy machine with Jordy in the lineup.
Right. So. Right. It's a big deal. Next one, at Dixon Steele 1. How do you alter your draft strategy for quarterback, tight end, defense in a league with a transaction limit?
Mm. Yeah, we've gotten those questions before.
I think I think that you can approach it more of a platoon situation. It's more okay to have two quarterbacks in your roster in that situation, and maybe get a tenth and 11th round quarterback like a Romo and a Ty God and play by magic.
That is probably what I would recommend, but it also depends on how limiting your transaction cap is. You know, if we're talking about like 10,
he says 25, which is actually pretty reasonable to still like,
I think,
to, I mean, if you could, you could, you could probably stream both defense and quarterback with that many.
Yeah, sure. I think that it's important not to freak out about defense and then take a defense in like the 10th round just because you don't want to stream the position. Don't do that. Right. Just trust on that.
Yeah. Another question at Klock 831. Favorite moment every pod off season is fire goat fire. Yeah.
Wow.
that's an intense one. Next one at Dread Pirate Rob 7. That's an insane handle.
It is.
Keep Cam for $10 over Gronk for 24 in a 12 team PPR. I'm not really a fan of either.
I mean, if that's your only option, I guess yes.
Okay. If you ran an NFL team, would you have a punter on your roster? This is from at SMGDH.
Oh, yeah, have a punter on the roster?
I wouldn't.
I
would not roster punter because this is what I would do. I'd go for it a lot on fourth down, and then I would just have someone go back there and kick the ball. And if it doesn't go as well as you want it to go, it's not the end of the world.
I tend to agree. I think maybe this is related to my fantasizing a couple weeks ago about a team that totally and completely commits to, you know, not kicking field goals, you know, inside the 20 or the 10, you know, going for it on fourth down, like doing things the analytics say to do, right? And first of all, the franchise would have to have no questions within it. It would have to be run like a communist dictatorship. But I think that part of that might be just doing away with the position of punter. That's actually not a bad thought.
Yeah, I love it. Next one, at Steinman _. Question, why are Denny's favorite shoes New Balances and why are they white?
How does he know this?
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, who's this?
Steinman _.
Do
you have white New Balances?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
That's because you're a dad.
Wait. I mean, I run in them. I walk around in them.
Of course you do. That's because you're a dad. You're a dad runner.
So this is like a shot at me. Sorry. I wasn't getting it. I have white, but I mean, they're trimmed with neon yellow.
Oh,
is that cooler?
Yeah, you're like a cool dad.
I'm not a regular dad runner. I'm a cool dad.
See, I picture New Balance like the typical New Balance sneakers with like the N and it has a blue outline. It's the blue and white ones. Like they're white with the blue.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. No, mine are a little more updated. And I wear them when I push the stroller around the neighborhood. Thank you very much. everyone.
Nice. Very nice. Next, and his favorite moment was the Derek Carrier recommendation and the bench your team called the Maryland Mediocres to drive your league crazy.
Yeah, hey, we'll get into bench your roster as the season comes near.
Yeah. This next one is at the human, Justin Nguyen. He says, "My favorite." This is a great tweet as well. My favorite moment is a tie amongst every moment CD Carter 13 isn't speaking.
Justin, why? Oh, man. That's just a gut shot. Come on.
Here's a back-to-back one. This is from Matt Harmon, at Matt Harmon underscore boy young boy. He says, whenever the show deletes itself will be my favorite moment.
Oh, my God. Oh, the community loves us so much.
Next one, at Joe Ruckus Marsh. He says, which coach is most likely to start a game of Mario Kart crashing into the wall because they were looking at the wrong screen?
Oh, I would say Tom Coughlin, but I guess that doesn't work anymore.
It could be, okay, sorry, Patriot fans. It could be Bill Belichick because you know he likes to cheat. Hey-o!
Oh, jeez.
Hey-o.
Any Patriots cheating take is okay with me. Oh wait, yeah, you're right. But I'm just thinking of someone who's just like not there, like wouldn't be paying attention.
Andy Reid would not have any idea what's going on.
Oh yeah, no,
Andy Reid would be holding the left bumper while using the D-pad and not understanding why it's not moving.
Andy Reid would be facing away from the TV screen, and you have to be like, Andy, the TV is right there.
Andy, the game started, but it's going. Yeah. And by the way, that Patriot comment, don't hit my mentions. I'm just kidding. Next one, at Fitz underscore 843. Who do you each think will finish at the top of their position each year at QB, running back, wide receiver, and tight end? It's a good question. I think it's going to be Rodgers, Le'Veon, Antonio Brown, and Gronk.
I'm going with...
That's my normal take. Are you going to have a fire one?
I'm going to try not to be too fire, but
okay.
I'm going with Ruffle Wilson.
Okay.
As the guy who finished number one among quarterbacks. Got to go. I mean, you just have to go Gronk at one. With tight ends, even though I feel like there's a small part of me that thinks Martellus Bennett's presence might put a ding in Gronk's red zone opportunity, but we'll get past that. We'll just say Gronk. At running back, I can't even get fire with that. Le'Veon is the one, right?
So you're gonna get? Are you gonna get fire with wide receiver then, or are you gonna say AB?
Well, look, I mean, Martavis is not available, so I guess I can't go with him. I mean, it's between Julio, OBJ, and Antonio, right?
Yeah, so, I would. To me, it's between Julio and AB only because I think Julio is going to get a lot more volume than OBJ will, and you kind of need, like, I think OBJ is very, very safe, obviously, and I still put him in a similar like range of outcomes. But I'm just saying, if someone's going to just blow the F up. Uh-huh. And be a wide receiver one, I think Julio has that more, has that ability more just because of sheer volume. Because what if his touchdowns progress? Like, I mean, they should. What if they just hit like 15 or 16? Mm-hmm. Then it's just, holy shit.
I know, yeah, the touchdown thing. I actually was going to say Odell Beckham as my receiver. So. There you go. That's a great argument for Julio. I'm going OBJ. Okay.
Yeah, all right. That makes sense. That's our podcast in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. That was the last question, though, Denny. You know, it's been a pleasure the last 100 episodes. Before we give them, our listeners, a surprise, yeah, a fun surprise, a 6 minutes worth of listening surprise, why don't you tell everyone where they can find
you? That's extra content. You're welcome. At CD Carter 13 on Twitter. And I have fantasy equity score analysis on thefakefootball.com. And also check out draftdayconsultants.com. For your upcoming fantasy football hashtag drafts.
And I'm JJ Zacharias, and you can find me on Twitter at LateRoundQB. All of my work over at numberfire.com. Check out the periscopes that I'm doing each day around 3 p.m. I tweet them out every day.
So handsome. By the way, you're so handsome in those. I can't get over it. I'm telling you.
Thank you. So let me just tell you a story really quick. You guys can go look at the periscope from today. But there was a girl who came in. You know, there's just like weird, creepy people that are on Periscope, and they like she like came in and talked about how handsome I was. But the problem is when I'm doing these Periscopes, I'm getting questions like, I mean, there's a lot of questions that pop up. It's a rapid fire half hour thing. It's really fun. I really love it. But I read it because I just read everything. So it's the most awkward thing. So if you guys watch that Periscope, it's so freaking awkward.
I gotta see.
I think I played it off well enough, but it's very, very awkward.
Oh my God. Wait, what did she say?
Something along the lines of me being incredibly handsome or something like that.
So you were like, okay, go this, I'll go with Gio. JJ, you're incredibly handsome. Okay.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully I played it off well enough. But anyway, so this surprise. So over the last couple weeks, I went through some of the podcasts and, you know, had to do some digging. And I put together a compilation of the 99 episodes that preceded this one. Some of our great moments that we've had, hilarious moments that we've had. I didn't get every single one that you guys would remember per se. You know, there's some stuff that's just us giving hot takes. There's some stuff of us giving good picks and bad picks. And just what the podcast, I think, in essence is what I try to capture with the compilation. So enjoy that. I'll play that before the outro hits. Thanks for listening, you guys. We will catch you next week. All right, welcome everyone to the first ever Live in the Stream podcast. He doesn't have the last name Fleener or Eifert. It's no, Charles Clay.
It's no Clay Harbor.
Yeah, right. He doesn't have a vacation destination named after him.
Yeah, no one wants to go to Charles Clay.
You love David Wilson, am I right?
I would say that I love him. I love him more than most, I guess.
The first one I'm going to go with, since we already started talking about it, is Terrell Pryor against the Colts.
Michael Rivera before he got hit and turned into Michael Jackson. what was that picture?
I've been looking at that picture almost nonstop for like 48 hours.
His teeth is like, it's so bizarre. His lips were like 5 inches above his teeth, and then his nose was a complete triangle.
His nose, I mean, yeah, he actually, you're right, I didn't think about this, he looked like Michael, like late ladder Michael Jackson.
No, like corpse Michael Jackson is what he looked like.
Because I don't even know what that means.
I think that's an 80s song.
He's an upside lover. Can we just ask why his name is Vance?
Vance.
It's like they tried to name him Vince, but had this really bizarre Southern accent.
I think the one compromise that I found is Dennis Pitta.
Right, this is from Deucalion.
Dude.
Alex Smith is basically everyone.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Killing the Stream. I'm your host, Kenny Darter, and we're here today to review some of our basic 2014 draft strategies. And here we go. Just as a reminder of every show, we get Peyton. We get Jimmy Graham, we get Calvin Johnson, we win our league, period.
Guy on the list, I'm just gonna do it again. It's Alex Smith. Boom. Jesus returns. And by the way, if you're listening to this podcast right now, just do a quick Derek Carrier Google search and look at the first image that pops up, and that's the guy that you're streaming this week. it's kind of, do it right now.
Hey, I'm doing it.
We'll wait. While we're waiting, I want to tell you to go to lateroundqb.com/shop.
What in the world? Do you know what the BYB in Matt Harmon's Twitter handle stands for?
I don't. I think Harmon needs to let us know, though.
Yeah, I've wondered that for, you know, about 2 years, and I have no idea.
Yeah. I have no idea. We can make it up. Do you have anything that it stands, you think? Like,
I was trying to make an Allen Robinson joke, but I got nothing right now.
Like, boy, young boy?
That's what we're talking about tonight. We're going to be talking about Jimmy Graham, and first of all, we'll get into why we think people like him and why this is the case. I kind of just touched on that, but then we're going to talk about why we're Jimmy Graham hipsters. I mean, mommy and daddy might be fighting right now, but at least in the end, we're going to make up and we're going to sleep in the same bed tonight.
You said it on air.
Grape or just something. Random that everyone knew automatically what it was.
Here's a word, and this might be due to the fact that I have a 5-month-old son, but I think the single position in fantasy, like tight end and quarterback, shall be henceforth called onesie. So here's my first hot take. Eli Manning will score more fantasy points this season than his brother.
We gather today because one of our own, a beloved son of the stream, has moved on, graduated into the next phase of his fantasy football existence. Today, our favorite streamer, Tyrod Taylor, graduates into full-blown fantasy football starterhood.
I work at a bar for like a few hours a day, and I'll order like 6 to 8 club sodas during the day.
You work at a bar? Like you're working at... I know what you mean by work. I don't mean you're a bartender, you know, but you're at a bar?
Yeah, like I sit at a bar and work, yeah. Is that what...
Really? Why don't you go to like Panera or Starbucks or one of those places? You go to a legitimate bar.
I go... Well, I mean, sometimes they're like chain bars, like, you know, American Tap Room or something, but...
But you're still going to bars.
Yeah, I go to bars, right, because I...
This is really interesting.
I want to get S-faced by noon.
So. Talk about the picture of you, yes, wearing the Living the Stream shirt with Emma Stone.
Yeah.
And so what was going on there? What were you working on?
That's a movie with Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling.
To go, you know, we've talked about this a little bit. I don't know how into this as you are as I am, Denny, but I'm going to completely convince you after talking about this, okay?
We'll see about that.
Okay. Quarterback streamer of the week is Nick Foles. Okay?
Oh my, I'm sick.
That David Johnson outscores Andre Ellington this year.
Oh God, it burns so much. The other day, to someone who asked what hair product I use, I actually use the Axe Messy paste. And if they're available anywhere, and I think they're owned in 85% of leagues, if they're available, you need to get them immediately. Pause this podcast, go to your waiver wire and get them. Because that'll be a massacre.
And don't go to the bathroom whenever you pause it.
No.
Go straight to the waiver wire.
No, just go in your pants. Mm-hmm. And definitely don't take any breaks.
Right, pee yourself, and then while you pee yourself, you're picking up the Broncos defense.
I mean, I think that's how I usually work the waiver wire. Anyway,
you pee yourself in there.
So
when I go to the waiver wire, I piss myself. To all of our Living the Stream listeners who have supported the podcast through the years, we thank you. Here's to many more seasons of exorcist vomiting, dad running, and streaming Nick Foles.
Thank you for listening to Living the Stream. We hope you enjoyed the internet podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes now. It won't take long, it's fast. For more fantasy football info,